Yeah. Lord, we give this meeting to you tonight.
Amen.
We pray that once again you will open your word to us.
Amen.
And speak to us as the living spirit.
Amen.
Yes. We do pray that we would all have an open heart.
Amen.
Amen. Give us an ear to hear.
Amen.
What the Spirit will speak to the churches.
Amen.
Yeah, Lord, you do desire a dwelling place.
Amen.
You desire Zion.
Amen.
This is your choice.
Amen.
The Lord has chosen Zion.
Amen.
He has desired it for his habitation.
Amen.
Give us all a heart for your dwelling place.
Amen,
amen. Lord Jesus. So tonight we come to Psalm 132. And this song is in the last group, group 5 of the Songs of the Ascent. And on the outline, group 5, the title is The Consummation. Amen. This conference, we have been ascending all the way from our lying lips, deceitful tongue, our dark and wild flesh, our arrogant heart, our proud spirit. The Lord has now brought us to Psalm 132. Amen. It's a very precious chapter, very important chapter. And may the Lord really speak to us tonight. Amen. Let's read some verses. Let's first just read the first 5 verses. Psalm 132. It's the only long chapter of all the songs of the ascent.
Yeah.
The rest are all quite short. And amen. So we'll break it up a little bit. Let's just first read the first 5 verses. Amen. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions. How he swore to the Lord,
and now to the Mighty One of Jacob.
Yeah.
Surely I will not
go up to the chamber of my house,
or go up to the comfort of my bed.
I will not give sleep to my eyes, slumber to my eyelids,
until I find a place for the Lord,
a dwelling place
for the Mighty One of Jacob.
Amen. As we have seen in the past, this is a vow that David made to the mighty God of Jacob. And it's a very important vow. And when we come before the Lord, ultimately when we come to Psalm 132, we all need to have such a desire to really willingly consecrate ourselves absolutely for the Lord and for Zion. And David gave a very good example here. A vow is not something that is forced upon you. A vow is something that you would do it willingly. And many of you have made a vow. When the day you got married, you vow, I do. Right? That's a vow. Yes. It's a very important vow. And no one forced you to make that vow. Because you do it because you want to. You love the person. Right? And David has such a loving relationship with the mighty God of Jacob. And he is now willingly telling the Lord, Lord, I will not go into the chamber of my house or go up to the comfort of my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob. How do you think the Mighty One of Jacob, when he heard this, how do you think he felt? If I was the Mighty One of Jacob, I would be really touched. I think David's vow really touched the Lord's heart. And we pray that we can all touch the Lord's heart, right? So that we could really consecrate ourselves in a very strong way for the Lord's building, the Lord's house. Yeah. Our own house, our own comfort, must not hinder us from the building of the Lord's house. Often we live, firstly, for ourselves, not for the Lord, but for our own needs. And we're all guilty of this. And I'm not just talking about, you know, the money, houses, and cars. Even in this conference, we appreciate the good fellowship, the good meetings, the good conference with abundant spiritual food and physical food. And we receive the help from the saints. There's so much goodness here. Do we love the church because we receive so much here? Or we love the church because our God, He has a need. And this needs to be the first and foremost on our heart. Our living God has a need. In Isaiah 66, the Lord says, "Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the place of my house? Where will I dwell?" God is asking. David surely heard this call, and he is now consecrating himself that he would spend every ounce of his energy in order for God's house to be built. This is very inspiring, and I'm very inspired by this. I probably have sang this hymn maybe 1,000 times. Every time I sing it, I freshly want to consecrate myself again to the Lord. The Lord really needs a dwelling place. And David loved the Lord, and he really had a deep feeling for what God needed. And he himself was ashamed that he was dwelling in a palace where God had to dwell somewhere outside in an old beat-up tent. And David was in a nice palace, lots of servants. I think it really touched him. So he made a vow and swore that he would give his whole life for God's house. He would give his strength, his possessions, his time, his energy, his resources, his entire being to the Lord. What a consecration. May the Lord grant us all such a consecration. There really isn't anything in life. I'm 50. I can tell you this. That's worthwhile for you to give yourself. Not your schooling, not your career, nothing. This is the most important, worthwhile thing for a human being to give himself to. For God's dwelling, for God's desire. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1 says, "Now it came to pass, when the king was dwelling in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies all around, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, 'See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside tent curtains.'" It's really a sad situation where the Lord has to live somewhere outside. And so we need to really build up a house for the Lord. And then David received a word from the Lord that not he, but his son Solomon will be responsible to build the house. You know, if I was David and I made such a vow. And I hear that I will not be the one doing it. I don't know about you. I probably would say, okay, that's it. I'm not the one doing it. Timo, okay, you were the chosen one. Go ahead, you do it. But David did not have such a feeling. He continually never forsook his consecration. He really gave himself. He did not rest until all that was in his power was used to prepare for the building of God's house. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 5, it says, "Now," David said, "Solomon, my son, is young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent, famous, and glorious throughout all countries. I will now make preparation for it." So David made abundant preparation before his death. We need to do this. We need to rise up. There are so many young people here with us today. Maybe you will be the one that can bring the Lord's back. But we older ones, yes, I'm 50, we're not going to rest, right? We desire that the Lord will gain his house. Whatever resources, energy that we have, we would like to use it for the Lord's interests. This is a wonderful, absolute consecration that David had. So through the Spirit, God showed David everything. Where the house should be built, how it was to be built, where the material should come from, also which services were to be carried out in the Lord's house. And David prepared all of this before his death. It's a wonderful consecration. So in 1 Chronicles 28, verses 9 and 10 says, "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind." Oh, this is a very good verse. Maybe we should all read this together. Yeah. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verses 9 and 10. Those of you who have it, let's read it together. 1 Chronicles 28, 9 and 10. "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intents of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." Wow. Amen. If I was Solomon, I hear this charge, I would do it. Be strong and do it. Young people are the arrow in the Lord's house. Be strong. Carry out the Lord's will. Amen. In the second section, let's go back to Psalm 132. Let's read verse 6 to verse 10. 6 to verse 10. Amen. Have it. "Behold, we heard of it in Ephrathah. We found it in the fields of the woods. Let us go into his tabernacle. Let us worship in his footstool. Arise, O Lord, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. For your servant David's sake, do not turn away the face of your anointed." Amen. In verse 6, Behold, we heard of it. The it here refers to the Ark of the Covenant. The first thing that belongs to the Lord's house is the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of Testimony, where the testimony of God is. Unfortunately, this Ark was taken away from the Israelites by the Philistines. And ultimately, it ended up somewhere in the field of the woods. It's in the forest. It means it was lost. Today, among all the Christians, who talks about the Ark of the Testimony? Nobody. Right? Nobody cares about the Ark of Testimony. Everybody is interested to build up a mega church. We don't care for numbers, but we care for the Lord's testimony. The Lord's testimony does not belong somewhere in the Black Forest. It belongs in Zion. Right? It's for us to recover it and bring it back into the Lord's house. Amen. May the Lord strengthen our spirit. Yes. Yeah, the situation today among God's people is really not that much different. Nobody is worrying about it. Everyone just worries about our needs, my children's needs. Right? But David was worrying about God's need. Yeah. Amen. May the Lord help us. Amen. Yes. If we want to build the Lord's house today, we need to have a clear vision like David. And the way to get a clear vision is to ask the Lord, Lord, where do you want to dwell? Where is your habitation? Where is the place of your rest? You know, David did not choose the place. It was the Lord who showed him the place. And if we read in 2 Samuel chapter 24, it tells us that is in that place David's pride was dealt with by the Lord. Yeah. I'll read you verse 8, 2 Samuel 24. So when they had gone through all the land, they came to Jerusalem at the end of 9 months and 20 days. And verse 10, and David's heart condemned him after he had numbered the people. So David said to the Lord, I have sinned greatly in what I have done. He shouldn't have numbered the people, but he did. But now I pray, O Lord, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. And it was there, David, he set up an altar to offer up burnt offerings. And David built there an altar. This is 2 Samuel 24, verse 25. David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord heeded the prayers for the land, and the plague was withdrawn from Israel. And this is exactly the place where God wanted to have his dwelling place. It was not David's choice. It was the Lord's choice. So every time David goes to Jerusalem, he would be reminded, this is the place he committed a great sin. So that he would not be proud. He would not say, oh, I am the king. I get to decide where God's house dwells. Right? The Lord is really wise. He chose that place where David sinned against the Lord, but yet he confessed and he repented. He offered up burnt offering and peace offering sacrifices. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
So, verses 8 and 9 and 10 is really a prayer of Solomon after the house had been built. Let's all turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, And let's read verses 41 and 42. It says, "Now therefore, arise, O Lord God, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let your saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, do not turn away the face of your anointed. Remember the mercies of your servant David." So if you come back to Psalm 132, verse 9 says, "Let your priests be clothed with righteousness." This really corresponds to the garments of righteousness in Revelation chapter 19, verse 8 says, "And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous act of the saints." Yeah. Praise the Lord. When David made such a vow, the Lord answered. And we can read the answer of the Lord. Let's read verses 11 to verse 18 of Psalm 132. Yeah. Amen. "The Lord has sworn in truth to David. He will not turn from it. I will set up your throne, the fruit of your body. If your sons will keep my covenant and my testimony, which I shall teach them, their sons also shall sit upon your throne forevermore. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired for his dwelling place. This is thy resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. Here I will make the horn of David grow. I will prepare a lamp for my anointed.
His enemies I will clothe with shame.
Amen. But upon himself his crown shall flourish." Amen. In verse 11, "the fruit of your body," it refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a descendant of David, and he sits on the throne today. Verse 12 says, "If your sons will keep my covenant and my testimony, which I shall teach them, their sons also shall sit upon your throne forevermore." And we know this. We read this. If we are faithful today, we will also be able to sit together with the Lord to be co-kings with him on the throne in the millennial kingdom. This is the Lord's promise for us. So, our consecration is really important. Even if you give your entire life, every ounce of your being, every cent that you have to the Lord, it will not even be compared to how much the Lord will give back to you. You can never outgive the Lord. You give the Lord this much, he will give you this much. Actually, my hand is not wide enough. And we are so stingy in giving ourselves to the Lord. Oh, I have a couple of hours here. Right? And the Lord is willing to give everything that he has for us. Really puts us to shame. Yeah. The Lord is too wonderful. Right? Oh, Lord Jesus. Yeah. One time Peter asked the Lord, in Matthew 19, "See that we have left all and follow you. Therefore, what shall we have?" You know, Peter is a Jew. Yeah. Very smart Jew. Right? "Lord, I give my life to you. What are you going to give me back in return?" And Jesus said to them, "Assuredly I say to you, that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life." Wow. That's a lot. So today, God has a throne in the heaven. But you know, throne is like an office. It's not a good place to have your home, right? The earth is his footstool. But yet God desires a house here on the earth. He wants a house to be built up by, as we heard, precious living stones. We are all the living stones to be built up a spiritual house, that we may offer up spiritual sacrifices that is acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The Lord today desires a church that is not only heavenly, but glorious. Right? A church that is holy and without blemish. Yeah. Oh Lord. So the fulfillment of the oath of God to David was actually not Solomon, but the Lord Jesus Christ. So in Acts chapter 2, verses 29, it says, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you." This is Peter standing up on the day of Pentecost, "of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his body," see, the fruit of his body, "according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool.' Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." And in that day, the church was raised up. God's house was raised up. Right? At least the beginning of God's house. Right? And they were praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily who were being saved. May the Lord recover such a proper church life among us. Verse 13 says, "For the Lord has chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his dwelling place." It's really important for us all, when we do God's work, that we would have God's seal of approval. We need to pray, "Lord, confirm your work among us. Please show us this is what you want to do. I don't want to waste my time. You don't want to waste your time. I don't want to waste your time. And you don't want to waste my time. Let's all seek before the Lord. Lord, if this is what you are doing, please confirm it. We want to know. And if this is what you are doing, I want to give 100% to you." Let's really challenge the Lord. We need the Lord's confirmation. Yeah. The Lord has chosen Zion. It's the Lord's choice. Lord, is it what we are doing here in Fountain Valley? Does it please you? Is it from you? Is it for you? And there is still a lack. Please show us. Right? We need to go to the Lord in this way. Lord, we want your certification. We want your verification. And we want your confirmation. Right? Lord, please confirm your work among us. Yeah. May the Lord help us. Right? As we draw near to the Lord will surely bless us. Right? So verse 14 says, "This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it." Not just for a period of time, but I will dwell forever. Right? From now until eternity, we're building an eternal dwelling place of God. So, the Lord's answer, I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. Amen. I will, I will, I will. It's not David's will. This is now the Lord answering. If we give ourselves to the Lord, He will surely bless us. Not with earthly blessings, but heavenly and spiritual blessings. We're not seeking to be rich in this age. We don't need to be, because all the money and all the houses will burn. Right? It will be shaken. It's not part of the unshakable kingdom. We don't care for that. What we care for is the unshakable kingdom, the things that cannot be removed. So may we today put on Christ as our garments of righteousness and holiness. Right? We are here for the building of the Lord's house. Amen. Amen. Verse 17, there I will make the horn of David grow. I will prepare a lamp for my anointed. The horn is the Lord's power and might in His kingdom for His rule against His enemy. So we do not need to fear. The Lord, He's on our side. Yeah, He is our light. He will show us the way. Verse 18, His enemies I will clothe with, but upon Himself His crown shall flourish. Everything that God gives to us is living. And it's full of life. Yeah. Lord Jesus. Amen. Today is December 30th, right? Tomorrow is December 31st, New Year's Eve. Wow. 2013 has gone by so quickly. It's a good time for us to make such a consecration. As David did. May this consecration be in our heart as this year is drawing to an end. May we all consecrate ourselves freshly. Lord, I want to be for your purpose. I don't want to care for my sleep, my eyelids, the comfort of my beds, when our Lord is sleeping outside somewhere in the forest. What a shame. David has such a heart. May we all have such a heart. And this is a willing vow that we should all make. If we say we love the Lord, then let's put it into action. Right? A groom will not marry a bride unless the bride really loves the groom. And you can't just say, I love you with words. You have to show it in your actions. Right? And vice versa, the bride and the groom. Well, the groom has definitely done his part, right? More than his part. Right? Now it's the time for the bride to do our part. So let's all turn to the last verse, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Amen. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Amen. Actually, let's read all the way till 27. Amen. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Amen. The Lord desires a glorious church that is holy and without blemish. May we all give ourselves for this purpose. Pray for all the churches here in North America, that we are here for the Lord's glorious purpose, that he may gain a glorious bride, that he may finally be able to come back.